Good morning. Welcome to church. My name's Dave Shannon, if I haven't met you before. And if you're here for the first time, a special warm welcome. It's wonderful to have you here with us this morning. Like I always like to do, start with a bit of Psalm 119. I'm doing two verses because it's, you need it. Anyway, let's read. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Let's pray together. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us and save us because of the promises that you have made. Father, we do pray that you'd help us trust your word and that as we trust it, that we would live accordingly. Father, we pray that this morning you would help us see that Jesus is the greatest undeserved gift we could ever receive, particularly at Christmas. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's that time of year where the challenge begins to find the greatest Christmas gift. Maybe it's a gift for your mother who has everything. Maybe it's a gift for your child who wants everything. Or maybe it's just that dreaded Kris Kringle at work. And while some of us will battle the crowds down the street looking for that greatest Christmas gift, some of us, a bit more tech savvy, we don't stress with parking and the crowds. We Google it. We ask ChatGPT, what's the greatest gift for a 44-year-old who likes cycling? That's me, by the way. Family, listen up. Actually, there's none in the room. I'm Malachi. Listen up. ChatGPT came up with the goods. A power meter, an indoor trainer, a bike maintenance toolkit. But there are countless lists you can find on Google that will help give you a helping hand at Christmas to help you find that greatest Christmas gift. But I discovered this week that the Princess of Wales, Princess Kate, she said that the greatest Christmas gift is love. Is love the greatest Christmas gift? But I reckon there are others who would say that the greatest thing that they would want at Christmas is world peace. You know, and it makes sense, doesn't it? There are conflicts all around the world. There are wars we don't even really know about, but there's a civil war that has been going on in Sudan for years. Israel and Palestine, Russia and Ukraine and other places, their desire for world peace, particularly at this time of year, is strong. You see, we hear it in songs, in music. You know, the most famous of all is John Lennon's Just Imagine, Imagine. Or Michael Jackson's Heal the World. We see the theme of world peace in books, in video games, in TV shows. And of course, you can't have a Miss Universe pageant without the obligatory, I want to see world peace. And while the greatest gift might be to see world peace, sadly, wars continue to rage on and wars continue to start. It doesn't seem like it ever ends. You see, world peace seems so good. It would be the greatest gift. But we are so far off from that. And as we come to Romans 5, which Russ has just read for us this morning, we are going to see that the greatest gift is actually peace with God. But you see, there is bad news. There is bad news before we can accept this good news. You see, we are at war with God. But in God's kindness, in his love, in his mercy, in his goodness, he has provided a way for us to be at peace with God, and it is completely undeserved. That is where we're going this morning. We'll look at peace with God, the bad news, and the undeserved gift. But let's start with peace with God, shall we? If you've got a Bible there, have a look there from verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We have peace with God. Now, when you see the very first word, there is a therefore. You've got to ask, what's it there for? It points back to Romans 1-4. As a church, we've been looking at Romans this term, and it points back. And the next few words actually tell us there, that is that we've been justified through faith. Now, justified is a judicial term. That is, it's a word from the law courts. And it means that we've now been put in the right, in right relationship, in right standing with God. And it happens through faith, by trusting in Jesus. You see, if you trust in Jesus, you are right with God. And it's also a free gift. That is, it's grace. We say that in verse 2. Now, it's not earned. It's not a wage. It is a gift. You see, how crazy would it be if someone gives you a gift and then you say, oh, how much do I owe you for it? That's not a gift. Or even stranger still, on Christmas morning. Imagine that. A child opens up their presents on Christmas morning, then pulls out their wallet. Mum, how much do I owe you for this wonderful gift? A gift is free, and it is the same with peace with God. It is free. It is undeserved. It is received empty-handed by faith alone. Peace with God. And peace with God is not a feeling. I feel at peace with him. It's not that. It is objective. The war has ended. God was at war with us, and he has provided the way for us to be at peace with God. The full price has been paid, full access to God. Peace with God. But you see, to truly understand the significance of this, that we have peace with God, we actually have to understand the bad news first. Because it's like buying jewelry, or so I'm told. My wife and I have been married 16 years this week. And when I proposed, I was a poor, poor uni student, but I loved her so much. I knew that I wanted to marry her and be with her until we died. But unlike most, I didn't go to a jeweler, but I went to the best, the exquisite, the most expensive, the deluxe toy shop in Albury. And I bought a toy ring, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter because I loved her and she knew that I loved her. And look, 16 years this week, we're still married. But most, they go to a jeweler and the ring is placed on top of a black cloth, and they do this because they want to draw attention to the jewels. They want you to be able to see all the fancy parts of the ring, because on the black, it contrasts to make the ring pop. Now, I think maybe toy stores are missing out. They need the black cloth to make the toy rings pop. But you see, it's the same with peace with God. You see, to understand how good it is, we actually need to contrast it to the bad news. We've got to contrast it with the bad news, and that is that we are, from the passage, powerless, ungodly, sinners, God's enemies. Have a look there from verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus, the baby whose arrival we celebrate and sing about at Christmas, who we've already done this morning, Jesus came on a mission to die for the ungodly. He died for all people, all generations, past, present, and future. And he did it at just the right time. You see, all people, that is us, you and me, we're powerless. We are helpless. We cannot save ourselves. We need a saviour. We need a rescuer. We see in Romans that we are under sin. We've rebelled against God, our maker, and are under God's right and fair judgment. We can't save ourselves. You see, we might think we're pretty good. On the right track. We try to do the right thing. You know, we come to church at Christmas and Easter. We give to charity. We help those in need. We help the old lady next door put out her bin. But we persist in the wrong things, and God hates those things. We reject him. We are powerless. We are unable to save ourselves. But we're also, verse 6, ungodly. You see, God made us in his image. He made us to look like him, that is, to reflect his good character. But that is not how we live. we rebel against God's good order. We reject him. We're ungodly. But also, verse 8, we are sinners. We ignore God. We rebel against God. We give God the finger by the way that we live. We don't put him at the center of our lives. Powerless, ungodly sinners. We all miss the mark. You see, it's like missing the train to go to Melbourne. Because if you're 5 minutes late, or 20 minutes late, or 3 hours late, or even just 1 minute late, it actually doesn't matter how close you might have been. If you miss the train, you've missed the train. And God says, we've missed the train. We're powerless, ungodly sinners, but also, just to make it even more extreme, verse 10, God's enemies. We refuse to bow down in recognition of God, of his lordship, of his rule. We're at war with God by the way in which we live, as we reject him and ignore God in our lives. You see, having an enemy is truly awful. You know, it can cause us emotional stress as we harbour bitterness and resentment within, as it disrupts our daily lives, as in our sleep, and the constant tensions within us, as in our anger and tension with our enemy against us. And it drains us of our time and energy and blocks our personal growth. And yet we've turned God, the maker, our maker of the universe, into our enemy. We're God's enemies. And yet, it is while we were powerless, ungodly sinners, God's enemies, verse 8, have another look there, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is God's love for us. Whilst we were God's enemies, at the lowest of the low, unable to do anything, powerless, at the right time, Christ died for us. And you see, God's rightly angry at us for our rejection of him, at being at war with him. We saw this earlier in Romans. It's not like just being cut off in your car as you're driving, or you cut someone else off and you get into road rage, or you cause someone else to get into road rage. And look, when we do it, you know, we're sorry, and we're sorry for what we've done. And yet we willfully are responsible for our rejection of God. We treat God far worse than the person who may cut us off, or when we cut someone else off. And yet, whilst we were at that, the lowest of the low, that is when God shows his great love for us. He sends his son, Jesus, born at Christmas, to die at Easter on the cross so that we can be friends with God. Friends, this is a love that breaks all the rules. You will never see an example like this ever. You see, it's why verse 7 sticks out. Have a look there, verse 7. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. You see, someone might die for a good bloke. We see this in Captain America. You know, before he goes buff and he gets the injection in his army training days, he shows his selfless courage self by jumping on a dummy grenade. He didn't know it was a dummy, but he jumped on it to protect the rest of the group, and it really showed his character to protect others. But a righteous person, a churchgoer, a goody two-shoes, no one's going to die for them. You see, we might die for the person that we love. You know, a parent to die for their child, a soldier for their unit, but to take a bullet for your enemy? Never. We'll take a bullet for a friend, sure, maybe. But never never for an enemy. But here is God's love that breaks all the rules. While we were powerless, ungodly, sinners, God's enemies at that point, at the lowest of the low, Jesus died for us. 30 years ago, a Japanese exchange student was in America on exchange. And he went to this party, but he went to the wrong address and thought it was kind of happening in the back, and so went around to the backyard to see if he could find this party. But he rocked up at the wrong person's house. And the person's house, who it was, they were outraged and just couldn't forgive this student for their mistake, and instead pulled out a gun. No forgiveness, death. But the God who made all things by the power of his word, the maker and sustainer of all, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, God Almighty, he forgives us through the cross. You see, the sentence of death that is ours, that belongs to us and what we deserve, Jesus takes it. And so, the bad news is that we are God's enemies, at war with God, rightly, fairly, deserving God's anger and judgment under a sentence of death. That is what we deserve. Jesus takes that sentence for us on the cross. And we find forgiveness, peace with God. You see, here is the greatest undeserved Christmas gift. Peace with God. You see, despite the bad news of being God's enemies, we are, verse 9, justified. That is, we are in the right with God by his blood, that is, through the cross. You see, God does the hard thing. He forgives us. He welcomes us into a relationship with him by the blood of Jesus. And he reconciles us, that is, we get into a good relationship with God by the death of his son. If God can do those hard things, then how much more, verse 9, shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? How much more, verse 10, shall we be saved through his blood? If God can do those really hard things of his son dying in our place, then he can do the easy thing in saving us from his right and fair anger at our rejection of him, and save us through his life, through his resurrection. You see, it's like me saying, I'll give you $2 million. Here you go, I can do this really hard thing. I can give you $2 million, and I manage to do it, and I scrape together this $2 million, and I give it to you. That's the hard thing for me to do. For me then to say, I'll give you $2, that's really easy to do. You see, God does the hard thing, the death of his son on the cross, then he can do the easy thing in saving us, in giving us new life, that we can find forgiveness, reconciliation in right relationship with God. We have peace with God. Black Friday is a shopping day, happened last week, I think, that started in the States, and like most things that happen there, they come to Australia. And so, of course, it's a day that we may or may not know about, a day full of bargains and cheap buys. But we've got to be careful, because lots of it's online and you can find some deals that seem a bit too good to be true. And they probably are a bit too good to be true. There are lots of scammers at work on Black Friday and other sale times. You see, people used to say, make sure you read the fine print. If the deal is too good, it's probably too good. Make sure you read the fine print. But with God, there is no fine print. You see, God's love for us, it is endless. It is free. It is undeserved. We just got to trust him. You see, Christmas is a wonderful time of year. We celebrate the birth and arrival of Jesus, our Savior. He is the greatest undeserved Christmas gift ever. Peace with God. But what are we going to do with it? Will we discard it? add it to the re-gift or op-shop pile like we do so many other gifts we receive at Christmas? Or will we accept it, trust it, acknowledge that the bad news is within us and accept the great peace of God that we have, this undeserved gift, thanks to Jesus? You see, we can have peace with God now. Don't turn it down. Come to Jesus, be reconciled with him in right relationship with God forever. You can have peace with God. How can we walk away from this? What excuse could we make to walk away from peace with God? Because you see, if we say no to God on that final day when Jesus returns, well, we won't be yelling and screaming, but God will say, go away. You see, Christmas is great. God sends us his son, the greatest undeserved gift, and that is peace with God. But unlike peace we may see in the conflicts that we see around the world that may stop for a little period, this is peace that lasts forever. Remember this Christmas that Jesus has come to give us that great undeserved Christmas gift, peace with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that he truly is the greatest undeserved gift we could ever receive. Father, thank you so much that you have provided the way through the many bad things in which we have done, our rejection of you most for and foremost, to give us peace with you through Christ. Help us long for and know this peace always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.